About this time every year, sometimes twice a year, I have this little talk with about 100 people, 100 students at Savannah State University. One of the things that I talk about is something that I've observed. Of the 100 students that I have at the beginning of the semester, every single one of them intends to make it through the semester whenever they sit in that desk, in that classroom, the first week of school. The reality is, and something I've tried to start getting them ready to deal with, is that at least three or four of them, of those 100, so it's roughly 3-4%, something is going to happen during the course of the semester, and whatever that thing that happens is going to be like literally a black hole in their lives. And whatever that is going to have such weight and gravity in their lives that everything begins to be sucked into that black hole. Something happens that they had absolutely no control over. Now, there's a lot of things they do that they have control over that don't go well, okay? But what I'm talking about is those where one thing happens and everything else begins to follow into the funnel. And pretty soon they figure out they're in a hole they can't get out of. So I have to tell them, okay, here's the fail-safe, guys and gals. About October 7th, which is about midterm, just after midterm, there's a date called the drop date. And if you don't drop the class by October 7th, you're going to get an F because there's no way you're going to be able to recuperate. You can't do it. But if you drop by the 7th, there is no penalty. There was nothing on your record that says you failed the class. There is no penalty. But you go beyond that date, all bets are off. You get what you earn. That's just the way it is. And usually it means you're already not going to pass. So I have to tell them about that. Now, the reason I kind of use this as a prelude to what I want to talk about is that none of us, as we're sitting there in that 100 or in this, you know, 30 or 40, none of us think that something's going to happen. Now, to some of us, things are happening or have happened. And we've learned kind of how to encounter and deal with those with our faith. But the reality is we still have things happen that we don't expect that have a lot of gravity and a lot of weight in our lives, and it seems like it begins to pull everything into the funnel. And we don't know where that's going to go. We have a little expression in our culture. It has to do with when life gives you lemons. Okay. So, when life gives you lemons is what we're going to talk about for a couple of weeks. Today, we're going to talk about when those lemons have to be things that we don't expect that are born in our bodies. One way or another, we're dealing with physical problems. Illness, accident, you know, injury, whether it's thrust upon us, whether we've cooperated and done stupid things, whatever, okay? When life gives you lemons, what do you do? And to try to help us get a frame of reference for where we go from here, okay? As I thought about it, ends up being sort of a corollary to what Dusty was talking about last Sunday at 11, although it was not necessarily intended to be that way. So when life gives you lemons, and the lemons you get are a broken body. So that's what we're talking about. Okay. So the truth is, you and I know that there's fewer things in life that can be much more sour than having to deal with some reason our health not being good or something going on with us. Okay. It's just not what we expect. It's not what we hope for. It's not what we want to deal with. But here we are when those things happen. Probably nothing has interrupted my life more than kidney stones. I had kidney stones. It changed everything for about 6 years in my life. because it set some other things in motion that I did not expect. Okay? Didn't know that the medication they were going to give me for pain was going to do what it did to me, which meant then I had to deal with that consequence, which had a far-reaching, you know, 5-6 year, maybe even longer, I can't remember, but 5 or 6 year, you know, reaching out. So one thing that I did not expect that affected my body, which is really not terminal or anything in and of itself, had a much longer lifespan than I thought it was going to. And there may be things in your life that are like that, things that you're going through now, things you will go through, things you've gone through, and you begin to look at how that worked. How will it work? What will it do? But the reality is, if you listen to the rest of the expression that we use in the culture, it's when life gives you lemonade. Well, I mean, lemons, you make lemonade, right? Now, making lemonade is not as easy necessarily as we make it sound. Okay? Sounds sweet, sounds inviting, but the truth is, somebody's got to squeeze them. So, I want to talk about a few things today. When life gives you lemons and your body happens to be the lemon, what do you do? So let's go to our theme verse for this little series. And that is, trust me in your times of trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. Now that can apply to any of the situations we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks. But that's from Psalm 50, verse 15 in the New Living Translation. So, whenever the things happen, and today when we talk about our health and physical stuff, we're human, so what is it that we say? What do we do? What's the question we ask when those things hit us? Two words. Why me? Okay, now, we're going to deal with that, but I'm going to tell you, that as much as I don't like to have to deal with that, I've learned that if I can remind myself that I really need to be asking myself a three-word question. And that three-word question is, why not me? What makes me special? Okay. But we're going to deal with why me. So as we look at why me and we talk about all the things that could be going on in us physically, want to talk about some answers, and some of these, most of these you've already processed because you've been there, but I just want to bring them to the forefront. And the truth is, the reason why I want to deal with this is because I haven't always done a good job of helping people through this. Sometimes I've been better than others, and sometimes I've just been awful. Okay, so I need this, as well as maybe you. All right, so the first part of why me is something that you've probably figured out. Let's do a little predictive thing here. What do you think are some of the answers to why me? Yes, biblical, but what are some of the answers to why me? Okay, fallen world, we live in a world where there's sickness, okay? All right. And that's kind of got two parts, okay, that we'll get to. What else? Oh, got to be smart. Okay, all right. Okay, sometimes they're after you. You're not paranoid. They really are after you, okay? All right, yes?
Because we need to grow up.
Okay, we need to grow up. Okay? All right.
You're all good.
All right. People are watching us, and so how do we get there? So it's because somebody has a plan for us, and that plan is not what we thought. We thought it was to be strong and big and bold and courageous, and instead God chooses us to be broken and weak and dependent. And guess what? He can use us there too. Okay? Part of the being human. If you're warm and breathing, you know, why are you left out? Okay. All right, I think we've done a pretty good job. So let's go over them. It's a symptom of being human. That's the first one. Okay? We're created. We are created in God's image, but we're still creatures. And because we're creatures and because there was the fall, we are susceptible to all the physical laws of the universe. So everything chemically, everything relationally, we're a part of it. So part of that is that we're not 10-foot tall and we're not bulletproof and we wear out and we grow up and we have issues. And then we have all those things that we don't expect. The stuff sometimes that gets thrust upon us. You know, let's see where I want to go with this. All right, let's go to the next one. So we talk about the fall and how that introduced sin into the world, and then that has two consequences. Your sin and other sin. Sometimes we're complicit in our broken bodies because we do stuff. Like, you know, if you and I go stand on the corner of two of Abercorn and Durin, and we do so in the middle of the intersection, and we don't pay attention to the cars, by our own choice, we're going to get walloped. It's going to happen, right? That's our choice. Now, some people do that with chemicals. They invite the wallop that comes from, you know, substance abuse. Whoop. There it is. Of course, there's all other kinds of things we can make poor choices about. They're going to end up having physical consequences in our lives. So that's one part of it. The other is, sometimes it's others. Sometimes other people's choices cause us to be there. Okay? You got domestic violence. No cause of anybody's own. Somebody inflicts pain, injury. Come up with scenarios. Okay, somebody hits you, okay? So just, you know, somebody falls asleep at the wheel. Somebody's drunk at the wheel, and boom, you know, all that stuff on I-16. It was about people who were not fit to be driving trucks and hitting people because they were not fit. It was a choice that ended up having grave consequences on other people. Okay. All right. So let's look at then. Let's look at a passage. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. This is back where it all started. Genesis 3, 14 through, let's see here, through 19. Genesis 3, 14 through 19. This is the fall. I'm going to talk about it for a minute. Somebody read that for us, 14 through 19, 3, 14 through 19. Okay. Was there a consequence? There was a choice. There was a series of choices. And those choices affected other people, did they not? In fact, those choices affect you and me. I'm going to admit, you know, truthfully, just like Jesus said and what Dusty talked about last week, and we're going to get there at the end of today, is that there are times where the reason that people have broken bodies has nothing to do with sin. There are times it doesn't have a correlation. In fact, if you look and listen to what Jesus said, he said the reason why some people have broken bodies is so that at the right time, in the right place, God is going to be glorified. Now, it doesn't always define how that happens, but he just say in that man's life, the man who could not see, who had been born blind, that the reason he was so that God would be glorified at the particular time and place that God had ordained. That was the purpose. So there are times where that does, that is true. It's a part of what's going on. And, you know, everybody's cancer is not, nobody chooses to have cancer, right? We just make bad choices. Sometimes the cancer that we get has nothing to do with us. It has just to do with the fact that we're alive. We breathe and we eat. And because we develop and grow, unfortunately, sometimes those tumors and that cancer develops in us because genetically, that's a part of the package. So it's not a matter of sin causing that. It is just the way that it is because of the fall. But it's not anybody's sin that causes it. Now, the reality is, as much as all these situations cause us to question, we've got to understand that no matter the context, that God is still in charge. So John, pop that last thing up there. God is still in charge. And yes, like somebody mentioned earlier, if we go back to this, to the story of Job, we do see that sometimes the things that happen in our lives is because Satan has asked God to sift us, to test us. And even though we don't have that, we don't see it. Wouldn't it be nice if we knew that? It would be cool if we could say, yep, God's trusting me with this one. Well, why can't we have that attitude anyway? I mean, but in all of this, part of this has to do with definitely growing us and maturing us, because we have to understand God is in charge and He has a purpose. And the problem a lot of times with our suffering and with our physical pain and with our struggle to cope, the thing that's the worst is that there's no reason for it and that it doesn't have to be. And what we have to understand is if God has allowed it in our lives, even though it doesn't make sense to us, there is a reason for it, one way or the other. And our job at this point is to trust Him in it and that He's going to do what He wants to do in us through it. How do you feel about that? Steve? Okay. I'm going to tell you, if I can use names, please let me. Okay. I feel a whole lot different about it right now than Kim does. It would be nice if we can have this relationship with God that whenever we have the thing happen that begins to cause the black hole, that we had a relationship that was good enough and strong enough to where we could just say, okay, God, all right. But the reality is, we are human and we still struggle with it. And that's why we need each other. Because if we don't have each other, we feel like it's easy for us to become more and more distant and feel like God's not caring for us, which is one reason why we cannot remove ourselves from relationships whenever we encounter these things. We've got to have each other because we're the hands and feet of Jesus for each other. And if we start to remove ourselves from that, then we begin to believe the lies that God's abandoned us. And really what we've done is we've removed ourselves from how He wants to love on us. But God is still in charge. He is in charge. He has a purpose. He has a plan. There is something that He intends to do with our broken body. I want to talk about that for a few minutes. So, what does God intend to do with it? What do you think God intends to do with it? We have to talk about it because we're not where we ought to be yet. I mean, and we have to talk about it. Because the problem is there's not that many people being honest or talking about this. They don't want to talk about it. Because it's complicated. It's hard. Yeah. We could have a conference and sell tickets and get everybody to do it the way that, yeah. Oh, gosh, wouldn't that be great? Then we could drive a Rolls Royce and people would be better too, you know. But that's not the way that it works, because that's not what it's about. It's a matter of wrestling with God over these issues. And we've got to have the conversation in order to be able to really deal with it. So, yes, John, next, first thing. Yes, it will refine our faith. And I am not getting into the issue of what does it mean for God to allow it? Does that mean He causes it? I'm not going into all that. That, because truth is that those conversations are ones you're gonna get to have with God whenever it's all done. And you'll figure it out. Right now, the issue is, are you letting this refine your faith? And are you trusting that God's in charge? Because bottom line, that's what it is. You've got to trust God's in charge. For whatever reason, whatever, how it ever happened, God's in charge. And it's going to make us more like Jesus, whose body was broken. Absolutely. And it wasn't His doing. He was sinless, and they had an agenda to abuse and punish Him for no reason. It was not deserved. So why not me? Because I do deserve stuff. Now, He's forgiven me. Don't take that too far, okay? But I am human, and I am broken, and I have been complicit in my own undoing at times, just like you have. But it refines our faith, number one. Number two, it will forge your character to be like Jesus. You'll learn to trust God and trust that He's in charge. At the same time, it does take you through some of the same things that, some of the same things that Jesus went through on the cross and as He was being beaten and scourged and mistreated. There's a forging there for us. Third thing, demonstrates His power and authority, just like He said at the end of the story that we looked at last week. There's an opportunity here for God. Let's look at some of the passages that kind of deal with these things right now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Somebody pull up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Someone else pull up 1 Peter 1, 21. So two different passages from the same chapter. 1 Peter 1, 7, 1 Peter 1, 21. We know that these kinds of things refine our faith because, what does Peter say about this? 1 Peter 1, 7, what does he say? Okay. New Living, same verse. Though Christ, through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And because God raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in Him. So even though we're in the middle and we don't see the end result, because we see what He did with Jesus and through Jesus, we gain the confidence in knowing that He can do the same kind of thing through us. Did God take Jesus off the cross? No, He just resurrected Him 3 days later. But He didn't pull Him off the cross. Which is what we would like Him to do in our case. At least me, okay? All right, the forging. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. verse 3 through 7. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Somebody read that for us. Yeah, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 7. In that last passage, you can see the progression, and there is no exception given. It doesn't say that these things ought to be happening unless you happen to have a black hole hit your life. And then in that case, then you can put this aside and you don't have to let this happen. Or when life gives you lemons, you can just pout. He says, this is all a part of life. And anytime you encounter life, he's given you what you need and what I need in order for these things to be true, no matter what I am encountering. And that means even if my body is broken, even if I am ill, even if I am in pain or I've got a fever or whatever, these things still ought to be true. Now, if you're like me and you understand things the way I do, when stuff hits me, especially physical stuff, and it's not just because I'm a guy, I'm a big baby, I become very selfish. Okay? I don't mean that I want to be selfish, I just become selfish. I become self-centered, and I begin to do the poor, poor, pitiful me stuff. Or I just don't do well. You know, I thought I handled pain pretty good till I had kidney stones. After a while, it didn't matter anymore, and I probably yelped for hours in the emergency room. I've never done that before in my life. That was temporary. It wasn't going to kill me. It just hurt. I didn't handle it well. I became selfish. Now, I wasn't selfish because I yelped. It's just the whole idea is everything around that, I let it all be what I was going through, and I would want to tell that story about what I was, you know, it was like how I felt, and it was all about me. But it's to demonstrate His power and His authority ultimately. Now, would that have made me stop screaming? Probably not. Because it hurt. But it's funny how we let pain affect us and wear us down. Does God know and understand us? Does He love us anyway? But He's going to demonstrate His power and authority. Matthew chapter 5. And I am, and you are, going to be more like Jesus when we trust Him. When it develops our faith, forges us to have the character of Christ, we know that He's going to demonstrate His power and authority. He's going to do that. Whether it's in our strength or our weakness, whether it's in our healing or our brokenness, He's going to do it. He is going to do it. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Somebody else, please find Hebrews 13, 7. All right, somebody have the Matthew 5, 14 through 16? Does it say that that's going to be true except whenever you have a broken body? Or when you're experiencing illness? Or is that supposed to be true all the time? See, we want to keep making the exceptions. We want to say, He can't mean now. He can't mean whenever I have to deal with this. Or for the people that we love, whenever they go through this. He can't mean that for them. We try to make exceptions. And then Hebrews 13, 7. Somebody have that? Now, all those people that the writer of Hebrews was talking about, certainly they didn't have anybody doing anything to them. They didn't have anybody coming after them. They didn't have anybody mistreating them, persecuting them. They didn't have anybody. They had charmed lives, right? He's setting up as examples people that had endured all this difficult stuff. He's talking about people who had faith. This is after the Great Hall of Faith chapter, in chapter, three chapters later. His power, His authority, our example. Now, if you look in John chapter 11, verses 11 through 15, Jesus said this about Lazarus, whenever Lazarus was resurrected, or before he was, actually. Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better." They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was just having a good night's rest, but Jesus meant that he had died. And then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, because this will give you another opportunity to believe in me. Come, let's go see him." That was one of those where it was definitely the intention of God to demonstrate his power and his authority very clearly. And then we see examples of his healing. I think, John, you can pop these up there. I think I'm kind of running ahead. Your example, your testimony, and then his healing. In Matthew 15, again, verse 31, the crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking around. And those who had been blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. That was the purpose. All those people had all those things. We know, whatever the cause was, it was so that God could demonstrate His power and authority at that moment in time. No matter how they got that way, it didn't matter. All right. So, what do we do with this? My answer is that we've got, at least my answer, and this is not the only answer, I'm not that smart, is that we've got to wrestle with this and walk with others who wrestle with this, because, but for the grace of God, there go I. And it could be us tomorrow, because I could be like one of my 100 students and I'm one of the three or four where something interrupts life, changes what I think is important, and either breaks me physically or somebody I love physically, and I just don't know. And yet we all have to engage and deal with that and let it do the work that God wants to do in us through whatever we have. It is anybody that ever wants to say that there is a simple solution to this is not doing a service to the power of God. It's not as easy, and the solution is not as easy. The answers are not as easy as a lot of people would like to make them. No one is sick or hurt because they weren't spiritual giants. Sorry, that's a lie out of a hot place. Okay? That's not what's going on. And anybody that wants to teach you that or tell you that, I believe is perpetrating lies, because I don't see it in Scripture. If that were the case, then there would be a lot of people in the New Testament that shouldn't have gone through what they went through. There would be no lion feeding in the history books. And there would be no people burned on crosses and all that stuff if that were the case. Because I know a lot of them and a lot of my brothers and sisters right now across the face of the planet who are suffering for Jesus' name are probably a lot more mature and a lot stronger in their faith than I am here in the air conditioning in Savannah, Georgia. It's not about that. We are not islands. We are always, it's about God doing all this stuff. God can do all this stuff and intends to do all this stuff on all these levels that we don't get at the same time. So it's about community. It's about what He's doing in the story that He's unfolding. It's about what He's doing in us. It's all of it. It's not ever just me. We just have to make sure that we, in all of that, I think all these bad examples, forgive me for that, but we have to make sure that we don't make being healthy, wealthy, and wise in our culture the standard of who is spiritually with it. Because the truth is, in heaven, we're going to look back and we're going to see a lot of little ladies who had broken backs and broken collarbones and broken bones and who had broken kneecaps because they prayed so much are the ones that God used. And we keep thinking it's the spiritual stars in our culture. God doesn't look at us that way. We got to stop looking at each other that way. All right. We'll talk about another lemon next week. Let's pray. Father God, we just have to learn how to trust You and walk with You closer. We thank You for the Spirit You give us that confirms Your love for us. And Lord, I pray that we would give ourselves to You entirely so that in this relationship we would see that You really are using everything we engage and encounter in life. And that, Lord, if we will submit it to You, that You can do wonderful, miraculous, amazing things that will bring glory to You and joy to our hearts if we will submit to You. Help us to recklessly abandon our lives to You, whatever You give us. Help us to love one another through what we receive, that we might see Your kingdom grow and that there would be miraculous power unleashed through being Yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.